I'm going to start with a little bit of a joke, which is not your standard Advent fare. It's very short, so bear with me. The past, the present, and the future walk into a bar. It was tense. Okay, laugh. Jude doesn't get it. The past, the present, and the future walk into a bar. It was tense. I'll explain it later. Okay. Advent invites us into a time that is outside of time, that the past, the present, and the future in the bar would know. And Auden's poem, For the Time Being, is a perfect lens into that, alongside the scripture that we have been reading for the last several weeks and continue on through the season of Advent. In the past years, we've read the best known part of the Auden Christmas poem, For the Time Being. But in this last week, I spent a little bit of more time with the whole poem, which is really spectacular in its entirety. This was prompted by coming across the essay about it in Commonweal that we mentioned in the email, which helps to illuminate themes and characters in completely engrossing and fascinating ways. The poem starts in Advent, the season in which we find ourselves for several weeks, and in those first few sentences, suggests that time is not what we think it is. From the very first stanza, darkness and snow descend. The clock on the mantelpiece has nothing to recommend, nor does the face in the glass appear nobler than our own as darkness and snow descend on all personality. Auden's For the Time Being continues through related Christmas events, all of which we consider in Advent. The Annunciation, the manger, and then into Christmas, the shepherds, the wise men, and going ahead to Herod and the flight to Egypt, as well as a soliloquy from Simeon. Through this Advent and Christmas season, we'll come back to this poem, unless one of you wants to volunteer for a message, in which case you're not required to. But if you get me, you'll get more of Auden, I think, this year. But for today, perhaps the place to land is in the idea of time and the poem, the scripture, and the season's invitation to us to come into a time outside of time. In the essay that we mentioned, written by somebody named Reimer, he pulls out a focus of the poem as the tensions between two different aspects of time, chronos and kairos, as defined by Paul Tillich. In the essay, Reimer calls kairos time gathered time, which I like very, very much. Chronos time is on the clock, on the mantelpiece. It's our clock and our calendar time, but as that first stanza says, the clock on the mantelpiece has nothing to recommend. Kairos time, or gathered time, is God's time. It's the time outside of time. This might seem purely metaphorical and poetic, but Reimer warns us to neither reduce nor dismiss the historicity of this event, neither to do the same with its significance. And from the scientific perspective, physicists have no trouble with the changing perceptions of time. Most of the rest of us just don't understand it. But let's start with the idea that in the liturgy, each Sunday, we enter into kairos time if we permit ourselves. It's time that is set apart. And by the structure of the time that recalls in our Eucharist, Good Friday, and Easter, we swirled out of the time on the mantelpiece while still being very much a part of it. And the seasons of the church, too, offer a portal into this gathered time, perhaps especially the season of Advent. Auden's poem acknowledges both the mundane realities of our day to day and our tendency to get stuck in them, as well as the transcendence of gathered time and that tension between the two in which we live. I, as an aside, met Beth in a Master's of Divinity program at Seattle University, and I didn't make it all the way through, but she did. And I remember very much the on Tillich, and it's all about the tension in Tillich, right? Between, in this case, those two different times, but in Tillich's case, lots of other different tensions as well. So past, present, and future walk into a bar, and it was tense. Gathered time pulls together that past, that present, and the future. It is time outside of time. And the Gospels, all four of them, offer us the entrance and the path through Advent, the season of waiting in gathered time, showing us each aspect of the birth of Christ in what both has been and what will be. You remember that we started a number of weeks ago now with the parables of the end times from Matthew, the three stories that suggested being watchful, warning us, reminding us that we do not know when the Master will return. The scriptures through Advent continue on beyond Matthew and into Mark and Luke and John. All four of them. And today, John the Baptist announces that the Christ is coming, that he is not the Christ, as some are assuming, but he is here to let us know that the Christ is coming. Next Sunday, we'll read about the baptism of Jesus by John. The following Sunday, we get to the Annunciation. And as Christmas approaches, as we continue the beginning of our church year, in the season of waiting in darkness, each of the Gospels offers another view into the time leading up to the birth of Christ, to the coming of Christ. It's gathered time. It's time outside of time. And it's an invitation to each of us to come into this gathered time. The liturgical readings are sometimes seemingly all over the map for Advent and Christmas, but they're not at random. They show the progression of God's time towards Jesus and towards what we're about to talk about in the next part of the service as the new covenant. I'm not sure about the rest of you, but I found it especially hard this year to accept this invitation into the gathered time. The political division, the social unrest, and our response to it, even when it's productive, even when it's affirmative, as well as a global pandemic in its worst stages, all of this has brought us firmly and sometimes despairingly into today and into the present. And instead of waiting in the darkness of hope, as Advent might suggest, instead of allowing ourselves to be immersed into what we recognize as gathered time, sometimes it only seems dark. This stanza from Advent in Auden's poem at the very beginning. That is why we despair. That is why we would welcome the nursery bogey or the wine cellar ghost. Why even the violent howling of winter and war has become like a jukebox tune that we dare not stop. We are afraid of pain, but more afraid of silence. For no nightmare of hostile objects could be as terrible as the void. This is the abomination. This is the wrath of God. Waiting in darkness is hard enough, but it's devastating if there is nothing at the end of that darkness. But being willing to enter into that gathered time, to accept the invitation of the season of Advent, being willing to wait with hope, well, as Auden recognizes, that's more than some people can bear. But Advent waiting, waiting in the story we tell of Mary, heavy with child, in gathered time is not without hope. In the midst of that darkness is the promise that John foretells. The words of the Old Testament today, which I cannot read without thinking of the hymn in the Episcopal hymnal, by the way, "Comfort, comfort, ye my people." I'm waiting to see Jane nod because I know she's going to nod. Yes, there we go. As well as the aria from the Messiah, which we just listened to as soon as I was starting to prepare this message, gives us this assurance as well. The story that unfolds in darkness is part of gathered time. It has long been foretold. It is part of the story of our world and our faith. Despite the darkness, despite the waiting and unknowing, all the valleys will be raised up, as Isaiah says, every mountain and hill laid low. Advent. This is not just dark time. This is gathered time. Auden's Advent section ends one chorus with this stanza. We who must die demand a miracle. How could the eternal do a temporal act, the infinite become a finite fact? Nothing can save us that is possible. We who die must demand a miracle. In today's gospel, John comes ahead of the Christ to bear witness to Christ's coming. And thus Advent is awaiting in the darkness with the greatest hope of all, the coming of, the recognition of, that Christ is in our world, the coming of a king who will bring in not only a time, but a reality that overthrows the earthly realities that we know. Now, this is jumping ahead a bit, but in Kairos time, in gathered time, chronology matters. But at the end of For the Time Being, the chorus exhorts us to follow, to seek, and to love. With the lighting of each candle that we did at the beginning of this service that we'll do for the next 3 weeks as well, the ritual of the flame, with our coming together out of time, outside of time, might we consider each an invitation into gathered time, the time of waiting in the greatest hope, and a time to follow, to seek, and to love. Amen.